You gotta say something, Kyle. Can't leave me hanging, man.
All right. Well, hey, welcome to the podcast. My name is Hunter.
My name is Kyle. And Hunter, I was wondering, is it more appropriate to call this the Corona Cast, or is that just
one? No, it's really inappropriate, but good try.
Sorry, that was awesome. FSM students.
Hey, Kyle, tell us how are your cats doing in the quarantine?
Cats are good. Yeah, man, they're both surviving, and they're kind of running around crazy in the house. And we actually just got a puppy.
What?
3 weeks ago.
What is wrong with y'all?
I don't know. We are starting to call ourselves the Plunkett Family Petting Zoo because we have so many dang animals.
It sounds like
it's bad.
Hey, you haven't asked me about Sugar Bear in a while.
Hey, Hunter, how's Sugar Bear?
She died.
I'm sorry to hear
it's
that.
It's okay. 20 pounds of goodness. Diabetic cat. RIP, wherever you are.
Was her name Sugar Bear before she was fat?
It
or
was. I think
she...
it led to her obesity.
Okay, makes sense. Like a self-fulfilling prophecy?
Yeah.
Poor cat.
She was a prophetic cat.
That's good. Yeah, Hunter, what has God been revealing to you these last few weeks during this corona pandemic? Have you been stuck at home and trying to figure out a new normal? What have you been learning?
Dude, a ton. The biggest thing would be margin and rest. Like, I had so much on my plate, and a lot of it has been cleared off, and I've been able to pull back and spend extra time with the Lord, with family, dreaming about things that are coming up. And I've realized in a lot of ways how overcommitted I am. So it's actually been really nice. In a way, as hard as it's been, it's also been really good. What about you?
I learned a few things. One, I learned that I have zero self-control around snacks. I think I've eaten everything in my house possible.
Same, bro. Honey buns.
It's bad. And peanut butter, just like a whole jar of peanut butter.
And honey buns.
And honey buns, I guess. I don't
have
any
of those.
Dude,
a whole jar of honey buns.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. If you stuff honey buns in a jar, it is.
I'm for it. But also in a strange way, like you were saying, I think this whole season is a blessing. Because really in the first time in our lifetimes, all the distractions have been stripped away. We don't have sports or school or church or cell group or anything else to distract us from the normal pain of life or even just the normality of life in any way. And so there's nothing really to uphold us or keep us busy. There's no way for us to rely on the faith of our cell group leaders or a good church lesson or a good cell group talk that could keep us connected to the Spirit. And this season is actually revealing our true colors in a lot of ways. Maybe we're experiencing anger or anxiety or fear during this outbreak. Maybe you feel tired, stuck, ashamed. Has being at home these past few weeks with nothing to do led you to look for distraction from everything going on, or has it made you turn to God and community and family? I think personally, this corona outbreak has reminded me how much I have to truly rely on Jesus for everything, including even my next breath. But at a deeper level, this outbreak reminds us who's in total control of the world and the situation. And, you know, check, it's not me. And it's not you.
It's true.
And I think I need to be reminded of that every now and then, for sure.
Yeah. All right. So let's catch everyone up to speed. Where are we at in this Question, Lies, and Truth series right now?
Yeah. If y'all been keeping up, week one of Question, Lies, and Truth, Caleb taught on fear and despair. Abby then taught on shame and guilt. 2 weeks ago on the podcast, you, Hunter, shared on anxiety and worry. And then last week, Amy taught on anger and sadness. And all of these lessons did a fantastic job of highlighting some of the emotions we carry with us through daily life. So this podcast is a summary of the whole series, and really, what's the answer to all the questions about all of the emotions that we experience?
Do I give the Sunday school answer here?
Absolutely.
Jesus.
Bingo.
I don't know if that's how you say it in Sunday school or not. That's how I always said it. Jesus.
Growing up in Great Britain?
Yeah. With my Peruvian friends. Dude, my accents are on point today. Let's go.
But yeah, simply put, the theme of today is Jesus is the answer, podcast edition.
Love it.
So the interesting thing about right now is how highlighted these emotions can seem because of what's happening in our world today. So my goal for this episode is to give us the tools necessary to not just float through this pandemic and honestly, Hunter, the rest of our lives with aimless living or fear, but to actually use this time for good. I think Satan wants to use all of these emotions for sin. He wants to distract us and pull us away. But God wants to teach us the redemptive parts of them all. He wants us to look to Jesus.
Well, and with that, when we say to look to Jesus, what we mean is we're looking to him for clarity and how we live our lives with our emotions, as well as looking to him as the redeemer and the fixer, because we cannot fix all of our problems. We all have a ton of problems, and we have to look outside of ourselves. So we look to him as our example and our solution.
That's good. And that's really good. In this podcast, we'll be looking for the answer for all of the question, lies, and truth, and emotions that we've already covered. And thankfully, the answer isn't just found in verses or church services or cell groups or even the act of praying or reading or worshiping. Now, those are all great things, but we actually get to look to a person. The living, active, all-powerful, and loving God is the answer to our deepest and darkest emotions. This final podcast will prayerfully help us to fix our eyes and hearts on the person of Jesus and the blessed truth that he provides us.
But
we have a problem.
We have a problem.
The problem is not the shame, the anger, the arrogance, the anxiety, the fear, the despair. All these emotions feel like problems. In our life, they may present many problems, but all these feelings are merely another way we interact with the fallen world. The problem we have is refusing to struggle through these emotions with God and letting him get close. And really, our problem is that we don't trust God enough. So we're going to walk through a couple of passages spoken by Jesus. The first one we find in Matthew 11, where we're supposed to learn from Jesus, keyword there being learn. And the second passage is in John 15, where we see what we're supposed to be learning. We're learning to abide in him.
Love it. All right, so here's our first big question as we get into some of the content. So what does Jesus offer? What can we actually learn from him?
I think the first thing we can learn is that God created us to be deeply feeling beings as we experience the world around us. Our emotions even reflect God in his image. We were never meant to be unfeeling robots just kind of drifting through the world. God is never upset at our emotions. He is upset when we are never honest with him about our emotions. Not because you are wrong, but because you are missing out on all of the connection that he desires so much. So in the face of all that we're experiencing, with the coronavirus and the fear and being at home and always being around our family and kind of everything that's going on in our world right now, I give you a promise of the Most High God. Hunter, will you read this verse for us?
Yes, Kyle, I will read this verse for us.
Thank you, Hunter.
Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what's Jesus saying here? He's talking about a yoke. Like, what is that? Like, it's not an egg yolk. He's not saying, man, y'all put your egg yolks on me. It's going to be a fun ride.
And he's not talking yoke like when I see Brad Campbell at the gym doing shoulders every
single
day.
Like, let's get yoked,
like,
bro.
Let's get my shoulders huge.
Yeah.
No,
some of my
kind of
Peruvian
yoke.
Friends that get yoked.
I thought it was a British school of children learning about Jesus.
Yeah, who knows? But here's the deal. In all seriousness, what do we learn from this passage? Well, the first thing I notice when I read it is the word learn. One, because you highlighted it for me, and I appreciate that, Kyle.
Of course.
But I think that's a big part, is that we are to not just like give Jesus our problems or throw all these things on him. That is part of the Christian life. But really, we are to learn from him and who he is, and the way that he walks through things, and the way that he responds, and the way that he acts, and the way that he treats people, the way that he prays. And it's something that has really been impactful for me, because I know that I don't have to walk through this world blindly. I can actually go to the example of Christ and see how he's responded when things get really, really tough. We just taught in our adult series a couple weeks ago on the passage of Jesus going to the garden and praying as he's dealing with a lot of anxiety and uncertainty, and he gets arrested, and you watch the way that he reacts through that, and it's an example for us.
I love that. I also love the imagery of the yoke itself, or the guiding weight that we as believers get to hold. I mean,
yeah, I guess I never really explained what a yoke really is.
It's been talked about. Most of y'all probably know what this term is, but the yoke is the, what's the wooden block? Is that what you'd call it?
Dude, you're doing great. You just keep going.
It's a wooden piece that farmers would put on oxen or animals, and they'd guide each other. It'd be two animals. Right.
Dude, if they didn't know what it was before, they definitely know now.
Yeah, you can Google it. Y'all are on your phones all the time. Anyway, just Google what a yoke is. Yeah, it's the guiding weight that we as believers get to hold as we yoke ourselves to Jesus. But what really stands out is the command, learn from me, followed by, I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And Jesus can not only be trusted because he says so, but because he shows it to be true. I've only ever really found true soul rest while learning from him and trusting him in, because I know that he's good and I know that he wants what is best for me ultimately in the end.
Yeah, and one of the ways that I've been experiencing this rest has been just, and I know this may sound dumb or elementary, but just intentional time with the Lord. One of my buddies, Colin Jackson, taught for Mosaic a couple weeks ago, and he mentioned this resource that's been out for a couple years, but it's an hour of prayer that Austin Stone did, and Austin Stone's a church down in Texas, and we can post the link to it next to this podcast, but it's been really helpful to actually spend an hour with the Lord in prayer. Now, I'm somebody, I can't do anything for 5 minutes without getting distracted, and what I love about this resource is it's got a video paired with it. I'm very visual, and it guides me through basically like 10 to 12, I can't remember how many, 5 minute sections. I guess that would be 12 if it's an hour. Because, you know, math degree, I can do that. So 12 sections where we just prayed specific things for 5 minutes. And man, spending that extended time with the Lord, now that I have some margin to carve out, like, it's been really, really incredible to experience rest.
It's really good. But my first reaction when I hear that is, man, that sounds like a lot of work. That sounds really hard. That sounds maybe like it's too structured. There's too many rules. Or maybe that's something only the super serious Christians get to do. Maybe something only the saints do, or you know, you're a pastor. And so, of course, you have an hour to spend with God. And I think sometimes it kind of freaks us out when we hear an hour of prayer, or, you know, spend your whole day thinking about Jesus and praying and being yoked to him and all of that. But really what I think the kind of the essence of this passage is getting at is it's not difficult to be close to the one who loves us more than we can even love ourselves.
Yeah, I
mean, it's like it's not difficult for a baby to rest in his mother's arms. It's not difficult for a child to trust his parents who love him. I mean, it's that kind of intimate relationship there that's not more work for us, but it's actually a release from work. We get to rest in the goodness of who Jesus is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, think of your own sons, Hunter. Is it hard for them, or do they have to earn your love?
Yes. They get nothing for free. Absolutely nothing.
They have to earn their keep at the house.
Oh, since the day they were born. No. In fact, it's the exact opposite. Not only do they not have to earn love from me, like I freely give it just because of our relationship. Like when Bill poops all over me, which happens quite a bit, you don't realize that until you're a parent. Like your children poop on you.
Yeah, my dog pooped on me the other day.
That's why you shouldn't have gotten a dog.
Such a dumb mistake.
But like no matter what they do, like it doesn't matter. I'm always going to love them. They don't have to earn anything from me. They're my sons. They're my children. And I'm going to take care of them. And I'm going to love them till the day that I or they die.
That's good. That's really good. I think we often forget that Jesus has already done all of the work. He already loves us fully. He already has accepted us and even died for us. And so we live our lives worried as if we can do enough to either, one, have God love us more. I mean, I think about Hank or Duke or Bill. Like it'd be crazy for them to be at home thinking, What can I do today to possibly get Dad to love me more? Like, I'm going to try my hardest. Or the other pitfall we can hit is, too, we try to repay God back for what he's given us. And so it'd be like your kids trying to pay for the dinner that you bought them because
they should.
They don't believe in free
spend
gifts.
So much money on them.
I believe it.
Golly, kids.
If you're taking notes, I want to give you all three promises that Jesus gives us as believers. These aren't obviously all of the promises that he gives us, but just three that I wanted to highlight. And remember, this is an answer to the question at the top of what does Jesus offer / what can we learn from him? And so the first thing that he offers is life. We see in John 10:10 that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Yet I, Jesus speaking, have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So that means when we stop chasing the things we believe will bring us life and instead pursue the creator of life, we will discover life as it was designed to actually be. And I think that's a really healthy way to confront our emotions is actually know that we can go to the one who created life and emotions and not chase after everything else that we're always trying to get to. Second promise is acceptance. In John 6:37, we see all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away.
Well, and the interesting thing about like the acceptance that we get from Jesus is it's different than what we normally experience. Usually, acceptance comes from something that we can do. So I get accepted into a college based on how good my GPA or my ACT score, whatever it may be, my resume, that is what allows me to be accepted. But with Christ, we are accepted based on the character of Jesus, not anything that we've done. Right? It's the exact opposite. And so this means that we can come to him with all of our hurts, with all of our feelings, knowing that we will be accepted because it's not on what we have or haven't done. It's on what he accomplished at the cross. And that's what actually even allows us to have a relationship with him.
I love that because I think a lot of times we think if we come to Jesus with all of the things we're actually feeling, even if they may be doubts and they may be fears and they may be ways that we're actually really upset with him in a way, he's actually saying, no, I've already accepted you. You can come to me with those feelings. And I love, out of that, the third promise then is peace. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So ultimately, the yoke of Jesus and not the world give us true peace. We're all wearied and burdened, all need true rest. But Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, because I give you the peace that the world cannot offer. And so I think in this time, and especially in the midst of the corona pandemic, it's really easy to run to the peace of the world. And Jesus point blank is saying, no, come to me. I'm the one who can offer true peace.
Okay, so we've got a bunch of people listening. Hopefully, might be two.
Could be.
Might be four.
Could be.
Might be 4 million.
Six.
I think 4 million people are going to listen to this in the next week. Mark my words. But all these people listening probably don't have their lives fully figured out. They haven't perfectly figured out how to follow Jesus. And the reason I know that is because that's me and that's you and that's all of us. And so how do we accept these promises even when we don't feel like we're fully ready to follow him and we still have a lot screwed up with us?
I'd say start really small. Don't beat yourself up over every single little thing. There was a monk in the 1600s who wrote one of my favorite little books called The Practice of the Presence of God.
And when is it a little book? Like
no, it actually
tiny
is like,
letters?
It's like a physically small book.
Okay.
It's like
I didn't know why you said little, 30, but that makes sense.
30, 40 pages. It's pretty small.
That makes sense.
They
Did you know I'm not little? I'm 6'4".
Last time you said 6'8", what happened?
I don't know.
Did you shrink?
Probably.
Anyway, he wrote a book called The Practice of the Presence of God. And when asked how to stay connected to Christ daily, he said, "Lift up your heart to him during your meals and in company. The least little remembrance will always be the most pleasing to him. One need not cry out very loudly. He is nearer to us than we think." And that's by Brother Lawrence. And he was a monk who spent his days praying and seeking God. And so essentially he's saying, think of God in the small things and the big things and the in and out of every day. God requires nothing crazy of us to ever get to him because he's always nearer than we think. And I think that's really encouraging. We don't have to do everything perfectly to come to God. He's already there.
Love it. And that was Brother Lawrence.
Brother Lawrence, Practice of the Presence of God. Go read it.
I'm going to start calling you Brother Kyle.
Please do.
If you'll call me Brother Hunter.
I think I need to wear like a Jedi robe. Is that like the Jedi hoodie? That's what I think of monks and gain about 150 pounds.
Wait, all monks aren't huge. What are you talking about?
Dude, in
most monks aren't huge.
No, think about it. In like the Robin Hood, what's the Disney Robin Hood with the fox? It's just Robin Hood. I feel like yeah. All monks and humans are just
let's
huge.
Let's frame all of our thinking on monks through Robin Hood. Love it.
My whole theology is set up around Robin Hood.
Oh, that's great. All right. So obviously Jesus is a great choice that we can find peace, but is he the only choice? Like, can we actually find comfort in this life though, outside of him?
It's a good question. Actually, Hunter, I'm going to flip that one back on you. How does the world answer this question? Can you actually find comfort outside of Jesus?
Well, so how the world answers it is different than I actually think is what's true. And so the world would say, absolutely, right? That, yeah, you can find comfort through having all the fun, all the friends, all the popularity, having perfect grades, being a star athlete, never letting anyone too close to like the hurtful things that you have in your life. Some people even just make fun of their own pain. Like the reason I crack short jokes is because I'm actually insecure about being short. That's a way of hiding it. And so we downplay some of the deep stuff and we isolate and we run to all sorts of things. So that's how the world would say, yes, you can find comfort. But I would say like, that's just lies. And like, it reminds me of the scene from Elf when Elf is walking up to Santa, put that in quotes. All you see me putting this in quotes, here it is.
You smell like beef and cheese.
Santa. And he looks at me and says, you sit on a throne of lies.
You're not really Santa.
Yeah. And I think that's what we in culture, when you follow Jesus, eventually you get to this point where you look at culture and you say like, you sit on a throne of lies. You are not really Santa. You are not really what you claim to be. And you don't actually satisfy in the way that you promised to. And eventually everyone is going to see that satisfaction can only be found in Jesus. Hopefully you see it this side of eternity, but all will see it eventually. Every knee will bow in front of the King of Kings.
It's good. Yeah, so the truth we see then is that true peace and comfort actually comes from abiding in Jesus. And we said we were going to give you guys two passages. The first one was going to be about learning, and the second one was going to be, what are we supposed to learn? We're supposed to learn how to abide in Jesus. And so, Hunter, do you want to read the second passage for us?
Yeah, here we go. John 15:3-6. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So I said abide a couple of times in there. What in the world does that mean?
Google would say abiding is to accept or act in accordance with a rule, decision, or recommendation.
So let me ask again, what in the world does that mean?
That's a great question. I'm glad we actually get to kind of pull that apart and learn what it means to actually abide. And to abide in Jesus is actually three really simple things. The first is we have a relationship with Jesus. The second, we rely on Jesus. And the third is that we remain in Jesus. And so
all three of those start with R.
Exactly. It's great alliteration.
That's easy to remember.
It is.
Remember also starts with R.
So remember relationship, number one, which is really just connection at the most high level. I mean, we have a relationship with the living God. And I think it's easy to forget that and easy to believe that we're supposed to come to God with all of the things that we're quote unquote doing for him all the time. And what he's asking of us as believers, first and foremost, is abide in me and I in you.
Yeah. When I think about that relationship aspect, part of a relationship is listening to the other person. So, you know, I'm married and I need to listen to the feelings of my wife and the things that she wants to process through. But also even with Jesus, I think we have to learn to listen to what he's saying. And I'll never forget, like, there's one point in my life where God spoke very, very clearly to me. I was addicted to key lime pie. Bet you didn't think I was going there.
I did not.
Yeah, but there was a season of my life where I would have a slice of key lime pie every single night before bed. I was packing on the pounds. Winter was coming. It was time to beef up. And so I remember going in there. There were like four slices left. And I reached in to grab a slice of key lime pie. And I sliced my finger on the plastic. And in that moment, I knew that the Lord was telling me, stop eating key lime pie.
I'm sure you had some guilt before that. You had to have known.
Yeah.
If that was your first thought.
Yeah, there was quite a bit more key lime pie. But as dumb as that may sound, like, it was an example in my life where I knew that the Lord was trying to say, hey, what are you doing? You're not taking care of yourself. I want you to pull back. And having a slice of key lime pie is not the greatest thing in the world for you. Your hips, don't lie, they're getting bigger.
That's what God's trying to tell you.
Yeah, trying
your
to tell
don't
me.
Lie.
My hips don't lie, and I'm starting to feel the pie. Oh, baby,
I like it.
That was on the fly.
That's good. Hey, the second part of abiding in Jesus requires reliance, or relying on Him, which is really just dependence on Him for all things. And the verse we see that is, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. And I love this verse for two reasons. The first reason I love is because of the truth that apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. I mean, I remember when I first started this job as the Rogers FSM pastor, I'd wake up every day and I would pray that every word I spoke, every meeting I had, every new student or leader that I met, this is like humble brag, spiritual points right here.
Okay,
you ready
for
this?
It.
Okay, yeah. That I'd be humble before God, and in that moment, and it was super spirit filled and all of that stuff. And it was really the most amazing way for me to start my day and my ministry. I was getting a taste of daily abiding, where every day I was waking up and saying, please, God, fill me. I have no idea what I'm doing in this job. I'm honestly terrified. I just need you to step into this moment. And then something crazy happened. I started believing that all that work that was being accomplished, I was doing by myself. I started believing that because cell groups were happening and sermons were going well, that I was producing fruit, and I began to wander from the vine, which is Jesus. And I started noticing some old sin patterns. Pin Saturns?
Yeah, so, that's when you get the little felt board and you pin Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. Pin Saturns.
Where did that come from? That's good.
Yeah.
But I started believing, the lie I was believing, that I'd started doing that work on my own, and we were seeing fruit because of what I was doing. And I started noticing some old sin patterns showing back up, and selfishness and relationships creep in. And really, this COVID outbreak has forced me to realize once again that I can bear absolutely no fruit whatsoever unless I remain in the vine. So it doesn't matter how much I strive or try, it's not going to be fruitful. It's not going to be real unless it's connected to Jesus. And the second reason I love this part of the verse is because as we abide in Jesus and rely on Him, He relies on us as the forgiven and redeemed ones to be His instruments of redemption. He doesn't have to, but He chooses to. And I think that's really amazing. So as the church, we get to be that fruit, and we get to see that. It's like how I don't have to eat Chick-fil-A chicken biscuits for three mornings out of the week to feel full and satisfied, but I choose to, because chicken biscuits are the most beautiful and God-honoring breakfast foods out there.
So
shameless plug.
So
adore Chick-fil-A chicken biscuits.
We're not sponsored.
I rely on them.
We will tell you who our sponsors are.
To work.
Yeah, we'll tell you who our sponsors are later. Not Chick-fil-A.
But
so
I
what
wish.
You're saying is Chick-fil-A is Jesus.
No. Oh. But I'm saying I could rely on Chick-fil-A chicken biscuits to at least make me a little bit more excited about that 6 a.m. meeting I have 3 days out of the week. And the third point of reliance is to remain, or to stay steadfast through it all while being honest with God and yourself about how you're doing. The verse that goes with this is verse 5. It says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
And so for us as believers, like as we bear fruit, we're supposed to pour out love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. All these fruits of the Spirit are for the benefit of the body. And so our reward is staying closely connected to the vine and getting to experience that health and that spiritual nourishment. But that fruit then goes to change the world. And so as we truly abide well and remain connected to him, other people are able to benefit from that too. Especially, look at our current situation of COVID-19. Like as we are walking closely with Jesus, it should overflow into the way that we are living well in our communities to serve others.
That's good. And I love that the fruit ultimately isn't for us, that our reward is actually staying connected to the vine, getting all the nourishment and all the love we need from him. And something that I think is really cool about having a relationship with Jesus, about relying on him for all of the things that we need and remaining in him, is how the verse actually begins. He says, you are already clean because of what I have spoken to you. That means that all abiding is a gift given to us as believers as we navigate life. Abiding itself doesn't make us clean and whole. We already are clean and whole by the work of Christ. So as we're nearing the end of this podcast, let me make the point of this podcast abundantly clear. No matter what we face, depression, anxiety, fear, despair, loneliness, anger, shame, whatever it may be, if we remain in Jesus, we will be given his joy, and his joy in us may be complete, even if it's not in this world. So Hunter, does that mean that we have to feel joy as we go through all of those feelings? Like we have to feel joy as we're facing depression or anxiety? Does that mean we have to feel joy in that, or explain that for me?
Yeah, so that's a tricky question. The answer is yes and no. We definitely won't feel happiness in everything that we experience in this world. There are going to be plenty of times we're not happy, but we can choose joy. And we tend to exchange joy and happy as the same words, being joyful and being happy, but they're not. Happiness is more dependent on our circumstances, but being joyful in Christ is something that goes deeper than anything that we're experiencing. And so we can be in tough situations, but when we are daily fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who went before us and went to the cross, and when we accept what he's done, we can actually experience deep, loving joy in a relationship with him. And it's something that's really hard to explain unless you've experienced it, unless you've had those moments where you've hit rock bottom and had a tough season, but you're still joyful because of the Lord and his goodness in your life. And so I think it takes time and practice and growing a relationship. Just like my wife and I have to grow our relationship and learn each other well, we have to learn what it means to have a relationship with Jesus over time. So we've talked about abiding. What does it practically look like going forward to abide with Christ? Give us something we can take.
Yeah, I mean, like you said in the first podcast, if you want true peace, it comes from not filling your life with the things of this world, but by filling your life with the things of God. And it couldn't be more true. I know it sounds like the churchy answer. I know it sounds like what we're supposed to say, but it's the only way that we can actually grow in deep relationship with God. We have the very Spirit of God inside of us. He wants us and even teaches us to live this way. And I don't want you to hear that in order to follow Jesus well or have this offered peace in his presence is to do everything perfectly all the time. I think that would miss the point.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, seriously. I think that'd miss the point of abiding entirely. The goal of the Christian life is to invite Jesus into everything we do or say or think, along with everything we feel. And again, it's not going to be perfect. We're not perfect. It's not all the time. And it takes time and practice. But that's okay, because we're already loved and we know that. And so that means whether you're studying, playing COD, eating with friends, hanging out, taking showers, feeling sad, angry, upset, whatever it is, you can all do it while in the presence of Jesus.
So you're saying like when you're going planting Claymore, you should be worshiping Jesus.
Kind of hard to do that. I imagine you can try.
All right. Well, so with that, you say like in everything you do. So what are those things we can do? Just roll through a few of them. Not that we have to do all these things, but what are some things that help us abide?
That's good. It's a long list. And again, we don't have to have all these perfectly, but I think we can start with prayer. It's a really easy connection point to get to know our God more as we pray to him. We can read the scripture. We can worship together. And even now we can worship as one body across all of Northwest Arkansas and the world by watching the Fellowship podcast. Or we can be in community or fasting or Sabbath or simplicity or whatever it is. It all boils down to one thing. And it's the one command given to all believers, which is abide. Doing all of these different things just means come to me and abide in me. So yeah, let me encourage anyone who is listening to the podcast, do not go try to do all of these things next week. We would get so overwhelmed. Pick one or two of these things from the list and practice abiding with Jesus at home. Maybe worship in your room to the FSM playlist. Maybe FaceTime people in your cell group. Maybe skip one meal and spend that time praying if you want to try out fasting. Maybe just go on a walk. And that whole time you're worshiping God for who he is. But remember, you are already clean and connected to the vine. He provides what you need. Maybe we can spend a couple of days this next week simply asking him to be with us in a way that we can feel his presence.
Yeah. Man, thanks, Kyle. Thanks for all your hard work. I think you summed it up well, that like all these emotions that we've been experiencing, the solution to all the hurts, pains, anything that we may be going through is a relationship with Jesus. It's the presence of Christ. It's learning to abide and walk closely with him on a daily basis. And so that's what we're here for as staff, is to help students and leaders learn how to do that. We ourselves are still learning, and we want to walk through this process together. So we're now done with our Question, Lies, and Truth series, and we will be back with y'all here in a couple weeks after Easter to go through some love, sex, and dating. I thought you were going to fill in the blanks.
No.
So we'll see y'all, and want to leave you with a word from our sponsors.